Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Capes and Japes. Hope everyone is having a nice day. We are here. Jury duty could not keep us from podcasting. And we're going to talk about comic books. We are here today to we're done with Spider-Women's for the current moment, and we are here today to talk about the Juggernaut, because he came up, I think it was when we were talking about Madame Web and the Juggernaut came up, and we were like, we should do a Juggernaut episode.
We decided, when we switched to Marvel, we're like, oh, well, we haven't done Kane Marco yet, and also we haven't done Madame Web yet. We're gonna start with Madame Web because she's a little more timely, and you know,
yes,
we'll be able to figure something out between these two characters. And it was like Madame Web, yes. A long string of spiders.
Yes. Okay. Yes, long string of spiders. Brief diversion to do a little whoopsie episode.
It's okay, that's when somebody accidentally, like, walks into the spider web and they go...
And then the
spider has to build it up again. That was us.
That was us. That's what we did.
We walked into our own web.
We did. Now it is time for Juggernaut. Juggernaut, Kane Marco... One of the most iconic X-Men villains, one of the somewhat unusual X-Men villains who is not a mutant, which I think people, like, are often surprised by. I feel like I always, like, forget that because it's like he's an X-Men character. He's related to another X-Men character, though not, like, biologically.
You would assume that he was an X-Men.
One would think.
Or not an X-Men, a mutant. But, you know.
Yeah.
But he's got a magic rock, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got a special ruby that gives him the powers of a demon.
A specific demon, or just, like, any demon?
It's a specific demon. He is extremely recognizable because he is gigantic and he is constantly wearing a sort of silly looking helmet. I mean, I think it's a little silly, but it's also, like, so iconic at this point. He is also one of the sort of rare X-Men villains to be introduced in the 60s comics and have, like, a significant presence since. I mean, Magneto is the other one, obviously, the most obvious one, but it's, like, a lot of, like, very... you know, iconic X-Men villains like Sabretooth, Mystique, Mr. Sinister, Apocalypse, like, most of them were, like, introduced post-1975. So it's, like, a lot of the 60s X-Men villains didn't really stick around. So because of that, Juggernaut's had a very, very lengthy history with the X-Men. During which he has mostly been a villain in the past, like, 15 to 20 years-ish, there's been a pretty significant pivot to Juggernaut Redemption Arc, as is the case with so many of the X-Men villains in general. Or, like, look,
you stick around for long enough, people are like, maybe this guy should be good now?
Yeah. Maybe this guy should be our friend. So Juggernaut, he came up in the Professor X episode. Whenever we did that, it was a while ago, but also it was like, we were definitely a pretty significant way into the podcast before we were like, let's do Professor X. But he is the stepbrother of Charles Xavier. So, Kane's mother dies, when he's young, and Charles's father dies in, I think, like an accident at the lab where he works as a nuclear scientist.
You know, those nuclear scientists always dying in lab accidents.
You know, you know these things happen.
I'm surprised he died instead of just getting, like, superpowers.
I know. Well, his son gets superpowers, I guess. Not as a result of him dying, but potentially as a result of him being adjacent to weird experiments. Because this was, like, in the early era, they were like, maybe mutants are caused by nuclear radiation in some way. Anyways, so Kane's father, Kurt Marko, is a co-worker of Charles's father, Brian Xavier. And after Brian dies, Kurt ends up marrying Charles's mother, which is like different versions of this story. Different versions of this story vary on like how much Kurt sucks overall. He definitely sucks. He's a bad dad and a bad person. But like some of them have like, oh, he's, you know, genuinely in love with Charles's mother, and the two of them like have like a real relationship. And some of them are like, oh no, he was just like,
he engineered Brian's death.
Some of them are, he engineered Brian. It's like implied in the original story that he maybe did that, but I think not stated. And then sometimes they revisit it and it's like he engineered Brian's death, and sometimes it's not. And sometimes it's like he engineered Brian's death to like, so he could like marry Sharon and like get her money. And sometimes it's like he engineered Brian's death because he was in love with his wife. So, a lot of factors. But the important thing for, Kane Marko, is that his dad is already abusive. I think Kane is like in boarding school, and then his father like takes him out of boarding school so they can move into like the Xavier Mansion. And he is,
he's like, boarding living school in this sucked, but this is worse.
this actually, I want to go back there. So it becomes a very bad situation, because Kurt is abusive towards Kane, seemingly, likes Charles better. We understand, and, like, they later, like, much, much later, they talk about this between them. Like, Kurt is also not great to Charles, but it's, like, Kane is experiencing abuse and not seeing Charles experience abuse. So he's, like, wow, like, this kid, like, is living the life, and I have this shitty dad who's abusing me.
Later, Charles is, like, no, we were being pitted against each other.
We were being deliberately pitted against each other by an extremely horrible man. On top of this is the fact that Charles has his, you know, mutant powers kind of like appearing for the first time, and he's not initially able to control them fully. And at some point, like, reads Kane's mind without intending to, and, you know, sees his, like, memories of how, like, horrible his dad was, and Kane, like, experiences Charles in his mind and feels, like, incredibly freaked out and violated and assumes that he did it on purpose, and so now hates Charles even more.
Honestly, can't really blame him for that one.
That one, honestly, I'm like, yeah, yeah, if that happened to me, I would not be happy. Just a very, very bad, situation all around, which ends up kind of coming to a head when, Kane gets into a fight with his father, at, like, the lab setup that Kurt has, like, in the mansion, I think, because,
Working in the lab late one night, and I...
He was working in the lab late one night.
An awful fright. It was my son! Ah!
Kane goes to him and, like, accuses him of killing Brian Xavier. And it turns into a fight. Like, they end up, like, Kane ends up crashing into, like, some chemicals, and they, like... collide, and, like, it starts a fire, basically. And Kurt gets both Kane and Charles out of the building, but he gets Charles out first, which does not
despite
do a lot.
Despite being in the same room as his son.
Yeah, so it does not do a lot of good for Kane's perception of the situation. And as, like, Kurt is, like, dying from the injuries he sustained from, like, you know, being exposed to this fire and, like, getting them both out. He's like, oh, Charles, beware of Kane. Don't let him know about your powers. And Kane is, like, standing right there. He's like, oh, he does have powers. So he did read my mind on purpose. I hate this kid.
Wow, being shitty even on his deathbed.
Literally with his dying breath. Goodbye forever. A horrible man.
Goodbye forever. Fight your brother.
Fight your brother for the rest of your life. They live in the mansion together, like, by themselves for, like, a little while.
Where's their... mom?
Sharon dies. Sharon dies before Kurt dies. Sorry, I forgot to mention that.
Damn.
It's not that relevant to Kane, I guess, because he doesn't really have any relationship with this woman. But yeah, she gets sick and dies.
Well, I'm sure it got worse after that.
Yeah, yeah. That's for real. They have no parents. They're living in the mansion together for, like, a little while. Charles eventually goes to Oxford. And Kane leaves and is, you know, doing his own thing for a little bit. The two of them end up getting drafted together in... the Korean War, as the story is initially told. I assume that's changed, and now they're just kind of, like, a generic war that may or may not have a real-world allegory because,
quote-unquote, the war.
The war, you know, the war, because of the way comics timelines happen.
Yeah, it's like, on one hand, I understand why you were connecting it to a real event. On the other, because, like, there's no way that you can tell what the staying power of your creations are gonna be. But
yes,
on the other
absolutely.
Hand, boy howdy, it would have solved a lot of issues if a lot of original characters had just kind of been in quote unquote, the war.
Yeah, yeah, it really would have, is the thing. So many, like, modern comics writers trying to explain why Magneto is a Holocaust survivor who is, you know,
50 like, years old. 60.
Yeah, it's like, there's comic book reasons. But they are fighting together. They're in the same, like, unit or squadron or whatever it's called. And they get into a fire. Not the two of them against each other. They're in, like, a fight, like an army fight, like a battle. And Kane runs away. And Charles runs after him because, despite everything, he doesn't want him to get, you know, tried for being a deserter or whatever happens in the army.
I think a court-martial, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Court-martials. I know things. The two of them running through, like, the woods come across this abandoned temple with a mysterious ruby kind of on a pedestal with an inscription on it that says, whosoever touches this gem shall possess the power of the Crimson Bands of Sidorak. I think it's Cytorak. I've always said Sidorak when I've read it. It might be Sidorak. It might be Kidorak. It's who's to say? But yeah, the Crimson Bands of Sidorak. Henceforth, you who read these words shall become forevermore a human juggernaut. Kane goes, yoink.
Don't mind if I do.
Yep. And he suddenly feels like this power coursing through him. He grows significantly taller and stronger, and he was already, like, a pretty big dude. The, like, force of all of the, you know, magical energy causes the temple to collapse. Kane is buried under, like, a ton of rubble, and Charles is like, oh, he's dead, and leaves. But he's not dead, because he is now a human juggernaut. What does this mean exactly? It means he can't, he is pretty much invulnerable to harm, and he can't be stopped. That's the main thing that the juggernaut does, is if he's moving, you can't really stop him. You can put a wall in front of him, he'll go through the wall. You can put a mountain in front of him, he'll walk over the mountain. You can start hitting and punching and kicking him, he'll just keep going. He can sort of be stopped by burying him under a bunch of stuff like this, or, like, will happen to him a lot, because it's, like, one of the main things to do, but he will just eventually climb out from being buried under all the stuff and keep going. It's kind of a weird one, because it's, like, I feel like if this was a mutant power, it would have, like, more kind of specific, like, delineations of how it works or, like, what he can can't do. But it's, like, it's magic. This demon god entity said that he was a human juggernaut, so that's what he is now.
Yep.
So he is buried under the rubble for a long time, 'cause by the time in, like, the 60s run, by the time, you know, Charles is, like, teaching the X-Men, the war was already several years ago, And now, as, like, time has gone on and that, like, scale has kind of changed, it's like, he was in there for, like, a long time.
A Captain America length of time.
A Captain America length of time, just, slowly clawing his way out from under rubble, thinking about how his brother, who he hates, abandoned him there and getting more and more and more mad. also potentially being kind of, like, influenced by Sidorak. That's something that, like, kind of seems to, like, come in and out. Is it, like, oh, is, like, you know, Sidorak's influence making him, like, more evil or more aggressive? Or is he just kind of like this?
I think there can be a lot of influences that have made him like this.
I think a lot of things in his life have made him kind of an angry person. but he eventually makes his way out from under the rubble. This is not in the original story. At some point they retcon in that, like, he goes and finds, like, the current avatar of Sidorak, or, like, the one who is the avatar before him, and Sidorak's like, kill this man and his whole village because they stopped worshipping me, Sidorak. And Juggernaut goes like, okay. And Sidorak's like, okay, well, now you killed all those people, so now you have, like, the power of the Juggernaut. That one's a little weird. He's usually not, like, a super murderous kind of guy. He's mostly just, like, doing crime and, hating his brother. But
honestly,
he's usually
fair.
Not, like, killing a bunch of randos. So, not sure about that. Not sure if that's even still, like, canon, or if it's like, oh, he was like, Sidorak, like, possessed him to do that or something. So, anyways, what happens is he makes his way, he tracks down Professor X, finds that he is, and, like, again, I kind of gotta, like, show him some, like, respect on this one. Finds that, like, Professor X left him there, is now living in, like, their old house with, like, a bunch of teens who he's, like, kind of, like, being a father figure to. And Kane's like, okay, cool.
this all sucks, actually, for me in particular.
This is extremely bad for me, Kane Marco, to experience and witness.
What do you mean you're training these kids for war?
he makes his way to the mansion. He bypasses all of the mansion's defenses easily. It's like, he gets there and starts attacking the X-Men. Is, you know, pretty effective because he's unstoppable. And then eventually they are able to, do the thing that, the number one thing besides burying him under a bunch of stuff that people do to stop the Juggernaut, which is, get his helmet off, because his helmet is, like, the suit was, like, given to him by Sidorak. Or it, like, appeared on him, I think, when he, like, grabbed the ruby. But the helmet protects him from telepathy. So you gotta take the helmet off, and then you can telepathically, you know, take over his mind and stop him, and then you can, you know, bury him under something or lock him somewhere or knock him out or do whatever you're gonna do. Which is cool because that's also a thing that he hates.
Yeah, none of this is sounding good.
Yeah. His brother, who he hates, telepathically controls his mind to get him to stop attacking the X-Men. And then locks him in a room in the mansion and doesn't tell the X-Men about it. And, like, puts him in, like, a telepathic coma.
Rude.
It just locks him somewhere. It's like, damn, you know what? I would also be pissed as hell if I was the Juggernaut. I'm just going to say that.
I don't even think you have to be the Juggernaut to be pissed off at that. That sucks.
That sucks. No, it sucks. That's, you know, not one of Charles Xavier's shining moments. One on a long list.
I was going to say.
Kind of shitty things Charles Xavier has done. After this, there's a story where they find, like, a second gem of Sidorak, and Juggernaut is like, ooh, I want that second one so I can be twice as Juggernauted. I forget how he, like, wakes up.
Maybe Charles goes to space.
Yeah, maybe he goes to space.
He forgets about his brother, goes to space, it, you know, wears off, and then he's like, oh, shit, where am I?
Okay, no, I think it's Charles gets knocked out at some point, and, like...
Oh, he loses concentration.
Like, yeah, he loses concentration on his, whole Juggernaut. They find the second gem of Sidorak, and they contact Doctor Strange about it, and it's like Juggernaut is trying to get his hands on this second gem, and when he touches it, it sends him to, like, this gem dimension called the Crimson Cosmos that's, like, this, like, the plane of Sidorak, I guess. And then he spends a bunch of time just being yeeted back and forth into different dimensions because he's trapped in the Crimson Cosmos. He, like, gets back to Earth. He gets shuttled into, like, the dream dimension. And then he comes back on Earth. He fights Beast. He gets sent back. He comes back to Earth. He fights Hulk. He eventually gets stopped again by them managing to get his helmet off and Professor X telepathically stopping him. And then he goes to normal jail and doesn't get sent into another dimension.
Never thought I would be excited for normal jail.
I know. In normal jail, he meets another X-Men villain, Black Tom Cassidy, who is the brother, I think cousin, of Banshee, who sort of like Kane with Professor X has this kind of vendetta against his, like, cousin. Black Tom has, like, plant control powers. So the two of them team up. They break out of prison. They start running around doing crimes together. Black Tom is also raising Banshee's daughter, Siren, who Banshee doesn't know about. And they teach her how to do crimes, so she runs around doing crime with her two dads.
You love to see it.
Yeah, her name is Teresa. Her eventual X-Men code name is Siren. But the two of them together fight the X-Men on several occasions. They also they try and kidnap Madame Web that one time that Juggernaut goes and grabs Madame Web out of her life support chair and then is like, oh, she's dying.
Oops.
Ah, damn. This is more trouble than it's worth, honestly.
Turns out another way to stop the Juggernaut is by the Juggernaut having a bad plan.
Yeah, that's true. He also, he fights Spider-Man in that story, and then he, like, becomes kind of a secondary Spider-Man villain. Like, he'll show up in, like, Spider-Man stories from time to time. There's also a very funny story where he fights Dazzler. He doesn't want to fight Dazzler. He runs into Dazzler, who is like an X-Man who's like a... We haven't done Dazzler, right, yet?
I would have to look.
Okay. I don't think we've done Dazzler. Maybe we can do Dazzler sometime soon. But Dazzler's like an X-Man who's also like a former pop star. So it's like Juggernaut, as it turns out, is a really big fan of Dazzler. So he like runs into her and she's like, oh shit, it's the Juggernaut. And he's like, wait, I don't want to fight. I'm like a huge fan. And she's like, no, I'm an X-Man. We have to fight. And she tries to fight him. He's like, wait, stop. Stop. I really don't want to fight you. And then she
please, please, Miss Dazzler, can I have your autograph? Please.
Yeah. She passes out, and the Juggernaut thinks that he killed her, and he's so upset.
Oh, no.
And he, like, buries her.
Oh, no.
And then she, like, the X-Men find her, and they're like, oh, she's not dead. And she wakes up and she, like, manages to get out. But it's just a very fun little Juggernaut detail that, like, he also loves Dazzler.
It is a very fun Juggernaut detail. Can't be stopped. Loves Dazzler.
Loves Dazzler. So through kind of the 80s, like, early 90s, it's mostly Juggernaut and Black Tom working together to, you know, do various crimes and schemes. He shows up a few times in Spider-Man stuff. He occasionally fights the Hulk just because it's, like, you know, if
the
you
thing
have,
to do.
Like, yeah, he's just bored. And also, it's like, every time, you know, if you have a really, really strong guy in a Marvel comic, people are always going to be like, let's see what happens when he fights the Hulk. He gets attacked by Onslaught, who is like evil Charles Xavier, but also Magneto's psychic essence.
Good.
It's a whole
I love
thing.
The sound of that.
Yeah. I mean, there's something very gay about it for sure. Onslaught attacks Kane and like rips the gem out of him from where it's like fused to his body. And he gets sent into the gem dimension again. But he eventually manages to, escape and get back to, Earth. There's a whole thing where he is part of, Marvel buys this other comics, publisher called Malibu Comics, and then they, like, do a story with a bunch of the characters from Malibu Comics, called All New Exiles, I think, and Juggernaut's also there to be like, kind of like, hey, Juggernaut's here, you guys know Juggernaut. He like teams up with these guys. He, I think, like romances a woman named Amber. It's ultimately not important because these characters don't stick around and most of it happens on like a alternate Earth anyways. There's this story where it turns out that there's a bunch of other godlike beings similar to Sidorak who also have like avatars that they've chosen on Earth, and they're like trying to like do something to like bring all the avatars together and like bring about the end of the world or something. And Kane's like, well, I don't want to do that. So he rebels against Sidorak basically and like stops this plan. And then Sidorak gets mad and I don't think takes away his power, like, completely, but it, like, reduces significantly. He's in...
Now he can be stopped, but it's now still pretty hard.
It's pretty... You gotta put some work in. He's in a story called X-Men Forever, where a bunch of different characters are kind of, like, sent through, like, various points in their own timelines. And it's, like, Juggernaut keeps seeing all of these times that he's, you know, been defeated and just, like, used his power for, like, crime and, like, pointless stuff. And he's like, wow, maybe I should rethink my life.
That's what does it, and, huh?
Yeah,
wow, look at all the crimes that I did.
Damn.
I still didn't really get anything good out of it.
My life still kind of sucks. After this, Black Tom gets, like, it's, like, his, Black Tom's powers are, like, kind of, like, going out of control, and they, like, are making him, like, way more, like, evil and unstable. And Kane goes to the X-Men to be like, hey, Black Tom's, like, super evil now, and I don't know what to do, and I actually, like, kind of need help. And ends up staying at the mansion. This is, like, 2000s-ish. Staying at the mansion.
And everybody's like, why is Juggernaut here? And Charles is like, yeah. What, you want me to throw out my brother?
Yeah,
when he's down on hard times?
That's basically exactly what it is. This is really
brother,
the point.
Man.
Yeah. This is the point where he really pivots into a kind of, you know, redemption arc character. Because he, like, has a, you know, he, like, talks to Charles. The two of them, like, discuss what happened in their childhood. Charles is like, it wasn't, like, that great for me either. And I didn't, like, read your mind on purpose. But also, I'm, like, sorry that it was, like, so hard for you. And they kind of, you know, reconcile somewhat. And he also befriends a mutant named Sammy, who has, like, a mutation that gives him, like, a fish head, and he can, like, breathe underwater and stuff, and he becomes really close to Juggernaut in that, like, classic way where it's like, you know, we're redeeming this kind of, like, rough, formerly evil character. Let's give him a child who's, like, super attached to him. He's, like, gotta be responsible for this water bottle.
Yeah.
Sammy, as it turns out, also has an abusive dad, which makes Kane extremely protective of him. And then at one point he, like, ends up, like, I think he, like, attacks Sammy's dad, and gets arrested.
How do you arrest the Juggernaut?
How do you, I mean, he still doesn't have all his powers back, but it still seems like it would be really hard. I think maybe also because he's, like, in, you know, his redemption era, he's, like, allows it to happen. So
yeah.
He's like, I didn't mean to do that. I just got really mad.
Yeah, that was probably, but, you know, it hit my traumas.
Listen, I got,
you know,
traumas,
who you,
man,
should be arresting?
Yeah.
This guy's shitty dad.
But the, X-Men agree to help him. They get She-Hulk to defend him. Ultimately, I think Sammy and, like, Sammy's mom both, like, testify that, like, no, he's not, like, he wasn't just attacking this man randomly. Like, this, you know, this guy is abusive, and he ultimately is, like, I think exonerated, or at least, like, let off, you know, somewhat lightly.
He's got to do community service.
Yeah. And after all of this, Black Tom, who's still, like, very evil, forms, like, a new kind of brotherhood of evil mutants, and Kane joins it as, like, kind of a double agent to, like, see what's going on and try and maybe, like, you know, prevent Black Tom from doing anything, like, super evil. Sammy finds out that, you know, Sammy finds out that Kane has joined the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, doesn't know he's doing it, like, you know, kind of as a mole, is so upset because he's like, I thought you were a good guy now and you're evil again. Like, finds where they're meeting to, like, confront Kane about it. And then Black Tom kills this child.
No!
And Kane is,
Oh, the police are coming to get Black Tom.
The police are coming for Black Tom Cassidy.
I could hear the siren in your audio. They heard about it.
They heard about this, and they're like, we are on our way. Kane is, devastated by this, obviously.
For good reason.
For good reasons.
It's like, hey, maybe, communication would go a long way.
Yeah.
When will comics books characters learn to talk to your loved ones about your plans to go undercover?
He attacks Black Tom, but, like, stops short of killing him. And then ends up kind of, like, on his own for a while. Like, he doesn't want to go back to the X-Men after what happened, and he, like, still feels so upset about Sammy, and he, like, you know, Black Tom was, like, his closest, like, relationship that he had, and he's like, well, that's over.
You try to kill a man, and it really bogs down the friendship.
Yeah, listen, you try to kill a man after he murdered the child you were attached to in front of you, and, you know, it's just really, there's a lot of baggage. He, goes, like, back and forth for a while on, like, getting the Sidorak powers back, because it's like, he gets them back for a little bit. He, Sidorak, like, he loses the gem again, and then Sidorak tries to, like, find a new host for the gem, and it ends up being Colossus, and then it goes back to Juggernaut, and then it's like he gets possessed during Fear Itself. He's on the Thunderbolts for a little bit, the Luke Cage Thunderbolts team. He gets, like, more into Sidorak, and then, like, he gets trapped in Limbo, and then he, while he is, in Limbo, Krakoa happens, and, he gets out of Limbo and, finds Charles, and Charles is like, you can't live on Krakoa because it's only for mutants,
rude.
Which is, like,
one, is untrue.
Untrue, provably untrue. Two, rude. But he's like,
like, do you think he's like, Kingpin can be here?
Yeah.
It's, I like, mean, well,
this,
yeah,
this is pre-Kingpin, to be fair, but, like, also, yeah.
Okay, so he hears about Kingpin.
Yeah.
Getting dual citizenship, and he's like, Charles? What the fuck?
Charles,
and it's like, no, but they're married. It's different. And it's like, I'm your brother.
I'm your brother! He has a solo series during this where he gets himself a new kind of, suit of armor that's, like, gives him the Juggernaut powers without him being, like, the avatar of Sidorak. So Sidorak doesn't have the ability to, like, grant or revoke his powers anymore.
No longer a warlock.
Yes, exactly. he teams up with this teen mutant who's like living on the streets, and the two of them kind of like work together for a little bit. He breaks a bunch of like supervillains out of prison and forms a new kind of like anti-hero team called the Unstoppables. And then I think he gets like a, maybe this is still in the solo stuff. During the last, leading up to the last Hellfire Gala and like Fall of X, he is invited back to Krakoa. Charles is like, hey, sorry, I thought about it. We're changing how we do things. You should come live on Krakoa.
He's like, well, now I don't want to. Why would I do that?
Now, actually, I don't care. He works with the Legion of X for a little bit, which is like Nightcrawler's kind of team. And he wins the X-Men vote at the last Hellfire Gala. Hooray for Juggernaut.
But wait a second, I heard something about that vote.
Hold on. He wins the X-Men vote, and then all the X-Men explode. Juggernaut actually does not explode. Juggernaut is seen alive at the end of the Hellfire Gala.
He just gets covered in rubble a little bit.
Yeah.
But not enough to stop him.
He gets his shit totally rocked by Nimrod, and they Orcus in like the most recent like Fall of X stuff. He was in prison, in like Orcus prison, and they like rigged it so that it was like he was like in an adjoining cell to Cyclops, and like Scott had this like collar on him that was like attached to Juggernaut, so it was like, if he, like, tried to do anything, he would, like, kill Cyclops, basically. So that was how they were keeping him there.
And that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem, I guess. For Kane. Why?
Yeah. He's like, oh, damn.
Wait, what fondness does Juggernaut have for Scott?
I mean, good question.
Like, at least have it be, like, another morality pet where it's like, hey, if you move, you will kill this child.
Yeah.
Because we already know that he can get attached to, you know, just like, oh shit, this kid is just out here. But, like, Scott, no, I thought it was going to be, like, some sort of Saw trap where it's like, if you...
No, that
if either
be very
one
funny.
Of you moves, it like will pull the Juggernaut into your cell, crushing you. Or if you move, it'll like expose Scott's punch beams and like drop this pile of rubble on you, like something like that. No, just like, hey, if you move, it'll kill this guy. All right, well, how much... And then he has to do, like, the mental calculus of, like...
Yeah.
Okay, well, how much do I care for Scott? How much will the people that I do care for will care if I kill Scott?
Yeah, sure,
how much trouble will I be in if I kill Scott? Could I claim it was an accident?
I do think it's like it's good character development to be like, yeah, Juggernaut's at the point where he does not want Scott Summers to die by his hand, but it's also like, should he care?
It's like, I mean, yeah, I guess if they do it where it's like not a given, right, that he would give up his, like the scales of his freedom versus Scott's life do weigh out, like, even out, right? Like,
yes.
If he's like, okay, shit. I mean, 10 years ago, I would have been out of here already.
Right.
But now?
Now, damn.
Scott, is there anything you can do over there to, like, I don't know, punch beam this chain or whatever saw trap they have us in? Can you do something about this? What do they have on you? Just the collar? Is there some sort of like saw trap where it's like, oh, if you try to get out of here, this'll happen? Scott's just like, no.
No. I'm just sad.
No, they put a blindfold on. So, like, I can't do anything. I've got a collar attached to you, I guess, some handcuffs, and a blindfold. I'm tapped. They got me real good.
They got me good. Surviving X-Men do manage to break Kane out, and he teams up with them to rescue Krakoa. It's like Krakoa, the tree part of Krakoa that's like got like the face on it, is like the kind of like sentient part of Krakoa, like escapes the island and is like running around, and it's like Juggernaut is in charge of like protecting Krakoa. So that's where I last saw him, in Fall of the Rise of the whatever. So he's currently running around with the X-Men, as like a, you know, real mutant ally trying to help them after the Fall of X. So I am proud of him. Despite having a lot of reasons not to like the X-Men very much, he really came through.
Proud of him.
Did you have anything else that you wanted to talk about?
I didn't read any comics. Right before recording, I finished watching the third episode of the newest Candela Obscura.
Oh, yes.
I do fully have another man to cosplay.
No! How can they keep doing this to you?
Okay, I mean, sometimes you just gotta look tired and be covered in blood.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's a whole gender.
And Candela cosplays are pretty easy because, like, I can thrift most of them.
Yeah. It's just clothes.
It's just clothes. Like, some of them are weird clothes. Like, I gotta look for a white shirt with a wingtip collar, but, like, it's fine. I'll tell you a little more after we're done recording.
Okay. I did read some comics. I read two more issues of the Kieran Gillen side of the current ongoing X-Men stuff, the new X-Men Forever and new Rise of the, it doesn't matter. The Kieran Gillen ones. I'm reading those. Yeah. I'm reading those ones because Doug was in them, and now Doug's not in them anymore, and
no.
Also kind of wasn't really in them exactly, but I'm still reading them because I'm like, if Doug is gonna show up fucking anywhere, he's gonna show back up in these, and it feels like it would make sense to have some sort of dramatic moment where actual Doug actually shows up and does something cool. So I'm like, please, Kieran, please, please, Kieran, just give me this. Just give me this one thing. If it doesn't happen, I'm not going to be that upset because Doug has gotten to do a lot of very cool things during the entire era of Krakoa. It's like the most cool things he's ever gotten to do. And also like some of the coolest things anyone's ever done in comic books. But I am like, I want to go out with a bang, you know? I want a really cool, big, triumphant Doug Ramsey hero moment. And I want Kieran Gillen to just give me that one thing. So we'll see, but I'm still reading them. And the rest of the stuff is good. It's not like I don't want to sound like I don't care about the rest of the comic, because it's like interesting stuff is happening and it's cool, but I am most invested in this one very specific thing. I've seen the first two episodes of Dead Boy Detectives on Netflix. I really like it. I already have a lot of thoughts. So if we end up doing a bonus episode next month, I will have some things to say. But I do really enjoy it so far. So I do, you know, if you are interested, I would say do check it out. The very first scene does have like some kind of like very like over expository like kind of dialogue where they're like, here's like our deal and what's going on right now, as you know, and it's like, you don't need to do that, it's okay. But the rest of the show has not been like that, so I'm enjoying that. Free Comic Book Day is this coming Saturday as we are recording this, so everyone go to your local comic book shop, and
it is
check
also
out some comics.
May the 4th, so like if you can go in Star Wars cosplay, do that.
Yeah,
I'm going to.
when how often does this happen? You know, not that often. So I think we should all embrace it. This is also. This is kind of weird. It's like a weird week because it's like a fifth week for DC, but not for Marvel, because DC is still releasing on Tuesdays and they're not going to go back to Wednesdays until like sometime this summer. So it's like DC is putting out like has like a fifth week for their April stuff, but Marvel is like week one for their May stuff. So DC is putting out a bunch of annuals this week. There's a Nightwing annual, there's a Flash annual, there's a few others, and they have a new, they have a Spring Break special, which is one of their kind of seasonal, like, anthologies, that looks kind of cute, so, might check that out. But yes, Free Comic Book Day, if you are able to get out to a comic book shop and get some free comics, you should. And if you're able to do it in Star Wars cosplay, even better. That is all I had to say, I think. If you want to keep up with us, you can follow us on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, Facebook, at Capes and Japes. You can send us an email to capesandjapes@gmail.com. We have a Discord server that you can come hang out and chat with us in. We have a Patreon if you want to support us on there. We just recorded our April bonus episode where I reviewed every appearance of the Dead Boy Detectives in comics, which I have now read, and kept it under 2 hours.
And but, we are so proud of you.
And we are all so proud of me. This was my birthday month gift to myself, was talking so, so much about the Dead Boy Detectives. Actually, I found out that there's an arc in the 2018 Books of Magic run that they show up in for like 3 issues that was not in the omnibus. So I need to go get a trade of Books of Magic so I can see them. I don't know why. I mean, I know why. I'm like, it's not there. It's 3 issues and they're not the main characters, but I'm like, I have to see them. But besides that, I think we covered every other appearance. So, if you are interested in hearing my thoughts on that, maybe if you want to, you know more about the publishing history of the Dead Boy Detectives before you check out the show, or after, or during, there's that. If you are not able to support us on Patreon, you want to help out the show in some other way, leaving a rating and review is very appreciated. Telling a friend about the show if you think they might be interested in it, and just coming back and joining us as you've done once again. So thank you for being with us today on Capes and Japes. I have been Olivia.
I have been Briar, and as always, kiss me, sexy Batman.
Kiss me, sexy Batman.